And we're in the New Testament. So we better review all the books of the New Testament as far as we've gone. Ready? Can you handle that now? Everybody ready? Here we go. Matthew, Mark. Wow, that's pretty near 100%. What we better do is we better go back to Genesis and see if you hold out so well on that. All right, now. Genesis all the way through Mark. That'll be a little steeper. Some of you are peeking already. That's all right. If you need to do that, you do that. All right, here we go. Genesis through the book of Mark. Everybody together. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark. That was pretty good. That wasn't bad at all. And you keep going over those. If you don't know them real well, you get them down real fast. Well, we come this evening to the book of Mark. Now, last week we looked at the book of Matthew. Matthew presented Jesus Christ as the King to the Jews. Mark presents Jesus in a different way. Instead of presenting him as the King, we have just about the opposite. And Mark presents Jesus Christ as the servant. Matthew was written with primarily the Jews in mind, and the book of Mark was written primarily with the Romans in mind. Now, what do you know about the Romans? You forgot all your ancient history. But if you would remember a little bit, the Romans in New Testament days, in the days of the Roman Empire, they were not inventors and philosophers for the most part. They weren't, in general, all that interested in books and lectures and literature and that sort of thing. The Romans were people of action. They wanted to do things. They wanted to go out and subdue the world and build roads and organize the laws and set up political systems and have a great army and all those things. They were doers. Actually, the Romans of the Roman Empire were much like Americans are nowadays, you know, kind of pragmatists. Not so much interested in the whys and the wherefores, just what will it do? What can we get done? That was what they were interested in. They were not so much inclined to sit around and meditate and speculate. They said, let's get things done. Never mind, is it nice? Is it beautiful? Is it poetic? Does it work? You see, that was the Roman thinking. I always kind of enjoy that kind of thinking. And the book of Mark is that sort of book. Action. Make it happen. And that's the way we like to think nowadays. Let's make it happen. Let's wind it up and get the show on the road and get something done. Never mind sitting around talking about it. Let's do it. Now, that's a good way to operate. And that's the historic spirit of America. Our country has always been doers. Let's get it done. And that was the spirit of the old Romans of Jesus' day. And that is the spirit of Jesus Christ presented in the Gospel of Mark. Presents Christ as the servant, as the one sent from God to get things done. All right, take your Bibles and open them to the book of Mark. Now, chapter 10, verse 45 is a verse that summarizes this kind of thinking as Jesus expressed it. Mark 10:45, you might mark that as the key verse of the book of Mark. Jesus says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Notice the title he gives himself, the Son of Man, servant to man. And notice his role. He says the Son of Man came to minister, that is to serve. And specifically, it says, to give his life a ransom for many. Now, that's the greatest service. In another place, Jesus said, no greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the greatest service. And let me just pause there. You know, there's many things. There are many things that the Lord does for us on a daily basis. He provides for us. He helps us. Gets us well when we're sick, answers prayer, and does all sorts of things for us, protect us. And we get excited sometimes to see the things that the Lord does, but never forget the greatest thing the Lord did for you and for me is when He died for us. That was His greatest service. Came to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Well then, let's look at this theme through the book of Mark. First of all, go back to the first chapter and notice the introduction of the servant. How is Christ introduced as the servant? Notice chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in verse 9 it says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Sometimes the Bible is significant for what it omits. When you begin to read the book of Mark here, it says, here's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to pass in those days that He came, and He got started. In other words, there's no genealogy, no family tree like we have in Matthew and in Luke. There's no account of His birth, no account of His youth, just presents Him as a man beginning His ministry. Because, you see, that's typical of a servant. You know, it doesn't really matter. We don't know so much about servants in these days, but if you think back to Bible times, when every household had servants to do much of the work, didn't really matter where a servant came from. Didn't matter much what a servant's background was, what his family tree was like. The only thing that really mattered with a servant is, what can he do? Can he get the job done? Will he do it? And that's how Jesus is presented here in the Gospel of Mark to these Romans who like to get things done. Never mind messing around with a lot of background. Let's see what he does. And the first act of Jesus Christ was an act of obedience. It says in verse 9, He came from Nazareth and was baptized of John in Jordan. Followed that which He said becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He went down into the Jordan and was baptized. Obedience. Now that's still the first act of obedience for one who would follow the Lord. Follow the Lord in baptism. And so we have the introduction of the servant, just briefly. That's all the introduction a servant usually gets. Now in this book, notice, if you would, secondly, the attitude of a servant. The attitude of a servant. A good servant is always willing. A good servant hears a command or request and says, yes, sir, I'll do it. And that's the attitude we find of Jesus Christ. Always willing to serve. Notice it with me. Chapter 1, verse 35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him, and when they had found Him, they said unto Him, all men seek for Thee. Here He gets up early in the morning, probably before sunrise, so He can get out and spend some time praying to His Father in heaven. And Peter and these other disciples come and say, look, people are looking for You. They're seeking for You. They want You to heal them and help them and preach to them. Verse 38, He said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. They said, everybody's looking for You. They want to hear You. They want to see You. They want Your help. And He said, all right, let's go. And we'll go through those cities and teach and preach the gospel. He was willing. Now verse 40. There came a leper to Him, beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him and saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. You can cleanse me. You can cure my leprosy if You are willing. Verse 41, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and he saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. I'm willing to heal you. I'm willing to cleanse you from that awful plague. And it's so significant. It says, he touched him. That you didn't do to lepers. You didn't touch them. They were supposed to stay away from everybody. Say, unclean, unclean, don't come near me. You'll be ceremonially defiled. You might catch the disease. Stay away from me. But Jesus touched him because he was willing. There was someone who needed help, and Christ was willing to give it to them. Chapter 3, verse 7. Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they'd heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him, because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he'd healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many had plagues. Here he is becoming so popular that the crowds throng him. But Jesus doesn't run away. He doesn't go hide. He doesn't get out of the country. He says, well, get a little boat and we'll sit out there in the lake where they can't get too close. And then I can speak to all of them. Because in spite of the press and the commotion and the multitude, he was willing to do what he could do. Chapter 3, verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he's beside himself. Modern language, he's gone crazy. He's stark raving mad. He's just working and working and working and doing all these things to help these people. He doesn't have time to stop to eat. Well, I'm sure he got hungry, just like we get hungry. Remember, just before the crucifixion, when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, he saw that fig tree and he says he was hungry. Jesus got hungry. But he was more interested in serving those people. He was willing. Verse 31, same chapter, chapter 3, verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent on him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them, which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Now here was his family, had come, his mother, his brothers, wanted to spend a little time with him, visit with him a little bit, see how he was getting along. But he was so concerned for all those people that were there that wanted to hear the Word of God. But he said, well, this is my family. These who have these needs. These whom I can serve. He was willing, you see. Chapter 6, verse 31. Chapter 6, verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. This was a common problem. All the time he was, often he was so busy, he couldn't stop to eat. In verse 32, they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw him departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. He kind of went across the lake so he could get a little relief from the crowd. But when he got on the other side, here was the crowd coming again. He didn't run away. Even though he was tired, even though he was hungry, he still wanted to meet their needs. He was willing to do that for them. Chapter 10, verse 13. Chapter 10, verse 13. They brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Here they come bringing these children. Lord, would you bless them? He could have said, I'm too busy. There's more important things to do. There are all these adults here that really can do something. Why should I bother with these little children? But no, he was willing. He was willing. He was a servant. Chapter 14, verse 36. Jesus is praying in Gethsemane, facing the prospect of the cross and the suffering, and worst of all, the sin of the world, your sin and mine, that was to be transferred to him. He says in verse 36, he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. I'm willing even to die on the cross and take the sins of the world. I'm willing to do that. Well, you see, no matter what the situation was, no matter what the need was, no matter how unpleasant the task, no matter how tired and weary he was, no matter how much effort was involved, no matter what sacrifice was demanded, Jesus was always willing. Now, how does that compare to our attitude? How willing are we to help somebody that needs help? To pray for somebody that needs praying for? How willing are we to serve and work on that committee or help in the nursery or take care of the food at fellowship time or go to see somebody that needs some encouragement? Are we willing, or do we say, well, is this going to take very much time? Is it going to obligate me? What's the pay? How much time do I get off? You know, what is our attitude? Oh, how God looks for those who are willing. Are we that kind of people? I trust you're willing to serve, to be a servant. But how many times, you know, we say, yes, we are servants of Jesus Christ. We talk about that, we sing about that, we read verses about that. But when it really comes down to doing it, do we just say, oh, I'm too busy. I don't have time. I'm tired. I've got my family to look after. Are we willing to serve? Willing to sacrifice, willing to go beyond the call of duty? Well, thank God so many of God's people are. So many of you folk are. And I trust we'll all be that way, willing. Now let's go back and look, thirdly, at the method of a servant. What does a good servant do when you give him some orders? Does he say, well, I'll think about that. I'll get to that by and by. Maybe week after next I can work that into my schedule. No, a good servant goes and does it right then. Straightway. Immediately. You command a servant, and the good servant does it now. Now look at this phrase. Chapter 1, verse 12. This is how Jesus did things. And we find this phrase repeated in several ways all through the book of Mark. Chapter 1, verse 12, it says, And immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. After the baptism, the first thing, he immediately went out into the wilderness for the temptation. Chapter 1, verse 20, And straightway he called them, that is, these disciples, to follow him. Straightway. Verse 21, And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. Chapter 2, verse 8, And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned with themselves, he said, and so on. Chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? Chapter 6, verse 45, And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Chapter 8, verse 10. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples. And all the way through the book of Mark, you see, immediately he did this. Straightway, immediately, right away. Because, you see, Jesus was a man of action. He saw what needed to be done, and he did it. No delaying, no waiting, no procrastination. That's the secret, to immediately get things done. You know that's what God expects of us. When you see in the Scriptures and know what God wants you to do, God doesn't expect us to do it by and by. God doesn't expect us to obey Him sometime off in the future. God expects us to do it now. When Jesus called His disciples, it says immediately they left their nets and went to follow Him. When Peter there on the gates of the temple said, Ananias, the Lord Jesus makes you whole, arise. And immediately that lame man got up. And when an angel came to Cornelius and said, send down to Joppa for a man called Simon Peter. He's staying in the house of one Simon, a tanner. And immediately Cornelius did it. And when Paul at Troas saw that vision of the man of Macedonia saying, come over here to help us, it says immediately we essayed to go forth unto them. And that's always the way it is with people that God uses. The people that God uses and the people that God blesses are people of action who do it when they see that God wants them to do it. Now, is that the way you serve the Lord? I trust it is. When God commands and tells us what we should do, then we ought to do it. Too often we make excuses. Well, and no time this week, Lord. I'll have to put out a fleece and see if that's really what I should do. I'll have to pray about it some more and see if that's really what God wants me to do. And we argue and excuse ourselves and procrastinate and too often do all we can to get out of doing God's will. But if we are servants, the kind of servants that God wants us to be, when God commands, we will obey and say yes now. Fourthly, as Mark presents Christ as the servant, I notice the authority of a servant. Now, you may not think of servants as having authority, and that's because we don't know that much about servants nowadays. But often servants had great authority. A man would put a servant over all of his household operations, perhaps over all his financial dealings, over all his business. And those servants had great authority. We talk about the President of the United States. He's a servant of the people, but he has great authority. A servant can be put in authority to act for the master. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was acting as a servant of God and acting with authority. Notice chapter 11, verse 2. Chapter 11, verse 2. Palm Sunday, as he's about to ride into the city of Jerusalem, he says, verse 2, he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be sent, entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied wherein never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye, the Lord has need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. Says, you just go and get that colt and take it. And if they say, why are you making off with this colt? You say, the Lord needs you. He was a man of authority. You recall how Jesus went the next day into the to Jerusalem and saw that fig tree. And he commanded the fig tree. He pronounced a curse upon the fig tree. And what did the fig tree do? Withered away. Jesus went into the temple. Began to cast out those that bought and sold in the temple. And the money changers, cast them out. Notice chapter 11, verse 27. After he'd done that, it says, they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and they say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? Where did you get this authority? Where did you get the right? Well, he knew and they knew that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, and he had the authority. Now, that applies to us as well, you know. As the servants of God, we have authority. But think about witnessing to people, maybe going out calling or witnessing somebody and say, oh, maybe they'll get mad at me. Maybe they'll have me arrested. Maybe they'll slam the door in my face. Maybe they'll be angry. Don't be intimidated. We should not be. After all, we have a commission from God Almighty. Almighty God, the sovereign King, has told us, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, the Creator, the King of Kings, sends us. A God who is over all has told us. And we ought to work and witness with confidence and with authority. We don't need to be bashful and backward. We don't need to be fearful and feeble. We are servants of the Most High God, and we can go with confidence and with authority. And then notice in this Gospel of Mark the dependence upon a servant. God commissioned his son, and his son enlisted others. Now, chapter 3, verse 14 says, and he, Jesus Christ, ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. He got these 12 disciples, and he trained them, and he sent them out to preach the gospel. Chapter 6, verse 7. He called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power or authority over unclean servants. He sent them out to serve him. Chapter 16. End of the book. Chapter 16. Verse 14. And 15. After the resurrection. It says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now here is what I need you to do. Go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Now you see, when Jesus was here in the flesh, he was limited by this mortal body that he had. And so that means he could only be in one place at one time. And he's just like you. I know sometimes some of you try to be in a couple places at one time, but you just can't quite make it. We can only be in one place at one time. And Jesus could only be in one place at one time while he was here. And he couldn't be in all the places to do all the things that needed to be done. And so he had to enlist others. And they were to serve with him, and he depended upon them to do the job. And that's still God's plan. Now you and I, we are enlisted as servants of Jesus Christ. And he depends on us to go to the neighborhoods and the shops and the cities and the places where people are, to reach them, to witness to them, to bring the gospel to them. He commissions us. He depends on us. He expects us to do the job. Are we doing it? Are we serving Jesus Christ? I mean, not just lip service. Oh, yeah, I go to church on Sunday. Are we really involved in serving him? Now notice chapter 16, verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Notice it says, he sat and he worked with them. The work of redemption was done. He had paid the price and offered the sacrifice. And so his work as Redeemer was done, and he ascended to the right hand of God, and he sat down on the right hand of God. The work of redemption was finished. But the work of applying redemption to lost souls was not done. And so he kept on working through you and me. Notice that phrase that says, the Lord working with them. And that's the glorious truth as you try to serve God. As we try to serve Jesus Christ, He is working with us. We are working in partnership with Jesus Christ. He is the servant of God and we are fellow servants. And we are not working alone. We are working with Him. And we can say that, what a glorious privilege it is. And what powerful potential that is. And what brilliant prospects that give us to have the Lord working with us and for us to be working with Him. And I hope you see it that way. When you're witnessed, people you witness to at work, you're not working alone. You're witness to your relatives, you're not working alone. Your service to Jesus Christ, teaching that Sunday school class or teaching in the school, whatever, you're not working alone. The Lord is working with you. And the Lord's given us the pattern of being a servant. And can we say from our hearts, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ? Oh, maybe we need to review what it is that we're doing and confess that we're just too occupied with other things to serve Him. Maybe confess to Him that we're too lazy to do what we ought to do. Maybe we're too selfish to do what we ought to do. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Put your hand to the plow. And be servants and go forth to minister the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and He will be working with us. Let's bow in prayer.